woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She does everything you do because the woman in your life is you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm your host. And with me at the board is my friend, partner, and engineer, Ken Norton. That's Kenneth Edward Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
What a beautiful day here in Sonoma County. It's just amazing. You know, my heart goes out to all the people that are suffering from the floods and the earthquakes, and our prayers and thoughts are with you all. I have one special guest with me this morning. Joining me in the studio is Susan Lamont, a local activist and one of the co-founders of the Police Brutality Coalition. Susan will be with me the whole hour, and the show is going to be in two parts. Part one, Susan and I will be talking about the Andy Lopez decision. Just a little reminder, young Andy Lopez, at the age of 13 on October 22nd, 2013, was killed in Moreland Avenue by Deputy Eric Gelhaus. I can hardly say his name. Just a little reminder. So Susan and I will be talking about the Lopez decision from the Ninth Circuit Court and what that means at this point. Is there going to be a trial? Is there going to be a settlement? Or are we going to the Supreme Court? I mean, there's so much still up in the air about this case. Part two, we'll be talking about the Independent Office of Law Enforcement Review and Outreach, known as IOLERO. And we're going to be talking about its formation, if it's going to continue, and what are some of the values to the community. It's so interesting. At one point, I thought, hey, we should just can it, and then all of a sudden, we began to see the value of it and the struggle that goes on, and it's a voice. It's a place for the people to talk and to interact and to get information. So I think it's a very important committee, and we're going to talk about that also. Well, I have something very important to say. I want you all to mark your calendars for October 18th. As most of you know, I am president of the National Organization for Women Now, the Sonoma County chapter, and we're going to have a special meet, greet, and planning event. And that's all about, there's two very important anniversaries coming up. The first anniversary is the National Women's History Project. It was in 2018, it'll be 40 years since women marched in the streets in Sonoma County and said, we need women's history. We need a National Women's History Month. Amazing, amazing that it actually happened. And then also in 2020, and this is really hard to believe, it's only going to be 100 years since we got the vote. And I was sitting down the other night when I was writing the script, and I thought, you know, when I was born in 1940, women only had the vote for 20 years, and I really regret that I didn't talk to my mother to see what it felt like, because she was part of the group of women that would be the first leg of women that actually were able to go to the polls. At the event, we're going to have a special guest speaker, Molly Murphy McGregor, who's the co-founder of the National Women's History Project here in Sonoma County. Molly and I, we went to Sonoma State together, and I'm really thrilled that she's going to be our guest presenter. She's going to be talking about our history is our strength and how we got the vote. You know, and again, in 2018, the National Women's History Project will be celebrating its 40th anniversary of the first Women's History Week in the U.S. that took place in Sonoma County. Excuse me, the first march to have Women's History Month here in Sonoma County. So mark your calendar, Wednesday, October 18th. It's going to be from 4 to 6 p.m. It's going to be happening at the Redwood Credit Union, the Community Room, and that's at 3033 Cleveland Avenue in Santa Rosa. It's a free event, folks, and we're going to have some wonderful, wonderful refreshments. Well, we had a busy, busy weekend. I want to do a special shout out to my dear friend, Shekinah Black, who is the coordinator at the Peace and Justice Center here in Santa Rosa. Shekina called me and she says, Elaine, you got to go see this play called Constellations. And the reason that she thought it was so important is because one of the main characters is a beekeeper. And as you know, I think I've mentioned it several times, Ken and I are beekeepers. Well, anyway, this was the last performance. It was just absolutely wonderful. And you know, they're going to be, they have plays every month, all year long. And I really feel this is one of the best kept secrets in the county, the, 6th Street Playhouse. It was just wonderful. So check them out, folks. And again, thank you so much, Shekina. That was just a wonderful, wonderful treat. Well, Ken and I went to see the movie Dolores, the story of the life of Dolores Huerta. And I want to tell you, with a capital F, this is a fabulous movie. Not only is it it's actually a drama documentary. It's not only fabulous, it is so inspiring. I mean, I had no idea. I mean, I've interviewed Dolores twice and I had no idea of actually what she went through and how important she was to the United Farm Workers. It's an amazing movie. Every woman out there should see that movie one way or another. It's at the Rialto. And you know, normally I don't announce because here we're a community radio station here and we have to be really careful. We like to have people, if we're going to announce events or shows or stuff, we hope they're members. But in this case, I'm going to make an exception I'm not sure about the Rialto. But I was very frustrated because there were only three people in the audience watching this wonderful documentary. So I really want to encourage my listeners to go out to the Rialto in Sebastopol. It's going to be leaving us on Thursday, and then I can't even find out how to buy the movie, because one of the hopes I have is if I get it, that we'll do, maybe the National Organization for Women will do an event and we'll be able to show the movie. But right now it is available at the Rialto. And if any of you out there our friends with folks at the Rialto, tell them to give us a call and let us do a PSA or something. You know, we are a bilingual station. This is a Hispanic woman. They should be here promoting and talking about that movie at this station to encourage all the people in the area to go and see it. It was so inspiring to me. And she is such an amazing woman. In fact, what happened when I walked out of that movie, I said to myself, you know, I'm not afraid to stand up. I'm not afraid to let my voice be heard. If this woman could stand, and she was fighting. I mean, if you look and see some of these guys that came out when these farm workers were trying to organize, I mean, it was scary. And there she was at the front line. And she kind of had a calling. And I feel the same way. And I feel when I talk to Susan today, I want to compliment her also, because there's something inside of us that we just feel that we have to stand up for social justice. But I have one step further that I'm trying to go with this program, is I'm trying to get other women to stand up with me, because it is very important for not only the future of our planet, but for God's sakes, the future of our children. So I really want to compliment, and the movie Dolores was produced by Carlos Santana. And I have to tell you, there was only one of his songs in the movie, which I thought was really great. But the background music on that documentary is just superb. So go and see it at the Rialto. You can find out everything that's going on at the, look in your local newspaper. They'll give you the times. We went to the matinee, because of course you can always save money at the matinees. Anyway, that's a lot to think about there, but it's really enjoyable. The movie takes you, I couldn't believe that I sat there and it felt like it was 5 minutes and before you know it was over. And I hope, again, I'm going to write Dolores a letter and I hope to get her on the air again to talk about how she feels about this movie. It was just wonderful. Anyway, I have a special announcement. You know, I got to tell you something, folks, something fantastic with a capital F is happening here in Sonoma County. In 2018, we are going to elect a new sheriff, and we have 6 candidates. And I need to express something. You know, elections are very important. And I know people stay home You know, and it's so ridiculous because you can do an absentee ballot. You can send in a ballot. So everybody should be able to vote. This is a very important election. Not only is it important that you vote, but it's important that you get to know your candidates. You know, we're not Los Angeles. We're Sonoma County. We can get to know our candidates. We can get to know people. There's going to be lots of different events going on. And the first event that's going to be happening is on September 28th. And I believe that's Wednesday. That's Thursday. Thursday. Today's the 25th, 26th, 27th. Yep. 28th. September 28th is Thursday. What they're going to be having is a candidate forum. It's going to be at the Veterans Memorial Building at 1351 Maple Street in Santa Rosa. It'll happen from 6 to 8 p.m. And they're going to have a pre-event reception at 5:30. You know, I want to be at that. I mean, that's where you get to meet and greet the people. You know, you can learn a lot from a person by shaking their hands. I studied with a man by the name of Tommy Hopkins, who was a sales trainer for real estate people, of all people. But he was one of my heroes. He taught me so many things. And one of the things that he taught me is that you can tell so much about a person when they shake your hand. You know, some people, they're real kind of shy. Other people just give you a grip. Other people just hold back. Other people don't even want to do it. So, you know, you can find all kinds of things about them. So at 5:30, you can actually shake these guys' hands and look them in the eyes and get kind of an intuitive feeling. I like that intuition when it comes up. I do have my favorite, but we're not allowed to campaign on the air. But if you come and you see me, I will definitely tell you. Well, anyway, here are the five candidates. I'm going to tell you a little bit about them. The first candidate is Carlos Basturi.
Basurto.
Boy, go to learn how to speak English, Elaine. Anyway, he's the Sheriff's Department lieutenant, currently serving as Chief of Police in the town of Windsor. So he's a local guy. We've got Dave Edmonds, who's a retired Sonoma County Sheriff's Captain. We have Mark Essex, Sonoma County Sheriff's Department Captain. I know Mark Essex pretty well. He served on the task force when we would go and talk to him. Very, very interesting man.
Have a meeting in the Rincon Valley Library this coming Saturday at 10. You can go and talk to him.
So there's going to be two. There's going to be two. Okay. The next one that we have is Jay Foxworthy. And Jay, he's very, very impressive, San Francisco Sheriff's Deputy. I like him. He's a family man. I've even met all his kids. I mean, that's how intimate he is. And then we have John Mutz, the retired Los Angeles Police Captain. If you remember a few weeks ago, he actually came into the studio and said hi. We let him say hi. We said, okay, we're going to make an exception. They were here at the breakfast. And then we have Ernesto Olivares, who, of course, we all know is our Santa Rosa City Councilman and retired Santa Rosa Police Department Lieutenant. So he has quite a background. So that only gives me five. There's one more, I guess. Oh, one, two, three. Yeah, there are only five, but I know that we have six, and I'm not sure who the next one is. So anyway, it's going to be happening this Thursday, September 28th, 2017. Program starts at 6 o'clock, ends at 8 o'clock. You're going to have a pre-event reception at 5:30. It's going to be at the Veterans Memorial Building at 1351 Maple Street in Santa Rosa. There's going to be English to Spanish interpretation will be made available, which I think is very, very considerate. And we've got so many sponsors here. This is just amazing how many people are behind this. But this is very, very important. It's the first time I think in 26 years that we've actually had a choice of candidates. There's all these people that are going to be on the ballot. So I'm really, really excited about that. So I encourage people to come on out, and I will be there. And if you see me, I'm always happy to give you one of my little Women's Spaces pledge cards and say hello and get to meet and greet you also, because this is an important, important event. So many of us complain. We complain. Well, I don't listen to anybody that complains if they do not vote. That's the very least each one of us can do. I mean, that is really the smallest thing that we can do to contribute to our democracy. In fact, I feel so upset. I mean, here we're going to be celebrating 100 years since we got the vote. Women went to jail. They were waterboarded. They went on long, long hunger strikes so we can get the vote. And women don't vote. And then they vote for some people that could care less about our children. I mean, there's a lot to think about when you go to those polls. So please, I encourage you to come out on Thursday to listen to these candidates, because we all know, especially in light of what we're going to talk about today, about the Andy Lopez shooting and all the different things that have happened in this county. I mean, the thing that stands out in my mind about that shooting and why it's important that we really have to have a sheriff that understands community and understands relationships with people. 3 days after this young boy is shot, in the same place he was shot, the sheriff came out and tried to arrest some young people and threw a pregnant young girl on the ground and handcuffed her. And I'll never forget when I heard that. That's what really got me going. It got me going with the first thing that got me going was just the fact that a young 13-year-old child was shot in my community. No, that was not acceptable. But when I heard a young girl was thrown by a sheriff's officer on the ground and handcuffed while she was pregnant, that was it for me. I said, this is intolerable. I cannot remain silent. You know that song I always play, by my silence I give my consent. Well, I refuse to give my consent with these things. There is no justification for killing a child. No justification. Anyway, we're going to take a musical break. And this is one of my, I love this song. It's called Everybody Knows, and it's sung by a woman by the name of Holly Figueroa. This is a Leonard Cohen song. But I love this song. I just think this really said a lot. And when we return, I will be talking with Susan Lamont, a local activist and one of the co-founders of the Police Brutality Coalition. And also, Susan was a long-time coordinator for the Peace and Justice Center, also here in Santa Rosa. And we'll be talking about part one. We'll be talking about the Andy Lopez decision that was just handed down from the Ninth Circuit Court. And this was the second appeal that we're going to be talking about. And then we're also going to be talking about the Independent, let me go switch my page here, the Independent Office of Law Enforcement Review and Outreach, known as IOLERO. We're going to talk about its formation, its continuation, and the value to our community. Okay, here we go with Everybody Knows. Folks, listen to the words very carefully. My favorite line is, everybody wants a box of chocolate.
Everybody knows that the dice are loaded. Everybody rolls that the fingers crossed. Everybody knows that the war is over. Everybody knows that the good guy's lost. Everybody knows the fight was fixed. The poor stay poor and the rich get rich. That's how it goes. And everybody knows. Everybody knows that the boat is leaking. Everybody knows that the captain lied. Everybody got this broken feeling, like the father or the dog just died. Everybody talking to their pockets. Everybody wants a box of chocolates and a long stem rose. And everybody knows. Everybody knows that you love me, baby. Everybody knows that you really do. Everybody knows that you've been faithful, give or take a night or two. Everybody knows you've been discreet. So many people you just had to meet without your clothes. And everybody knows. Everybody knows. That's how it goes. And everybody knows. Everybody knows. Everybody knows. That's how it goes. And everybody knows. me or you. Everybody knows that you live forever. When you've done a line or two, everybody knows the deal is rotten. Old Black Joe's still picking cotton for your ribbons and bows, and everybody knows. And everybody knows that the plague is coming. Everybody knows that it's moving fast. Everybody knows a naked man and woman are just a shining artifact of the past. Everybody knows the scene is dead. There's gonna be a meter on your bed that will disclose what everybody knows. And everybody knows that you're in trouble. Everybody knows what you've been through, from the bloody cross on top of Calvary to the beach of Malibu. And everybody knows it's coming apart. Take one last look at this sacred heart before it blows. And everybody knows. Everybody knows. Everybody knows. That's how it goes. And everybody knows. Everybody knows. Everybody knows. That's how it goes.
Yes, everybody knows. Everybody that's how it goes. For you just joining in, you are listening to KPBF 89.1 FM, Calistoga, Santa Rosa. I want to remind my listeners the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of KPBF, its board of directors, members, or Women's Spaces. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And without further ado, I want to introduce my first guest in the studio with me, Susan Lamont. Welcome, Susan. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
Thanks for having me on again. I want to make one comment.
Okay.
Since my great-grandmother marched in the streets for women's vote, we are already talking. The female descendants getting together for a reunion in 2020. There would be three generations of us to celebrate that as direct descendants of someone who worked on that.
Well, one thing I have to say, I really envy you. Like I said at the beginning, I wish I would have talked to my mother and asked her how she felt when she
right.
took the vote, because
right.
it was so simple. It was yeah. so early and so new.
Yep.
It must have been really exciting, you know,
I bet.
You think about it,
yeah.
that the women got the vote. You know, I recommend, you know, talking about getting the vote, I recommend you listen, watch the movie Iron-Jawed Angel. It's not a perfect replica, but it gives you an idea of what the women went through. Anyway, I'm going to tell our listeners a little bit about you, Susan. And I've always been very impressed with you. I can't even remember how we met. I think we met when we were protesting the Iraq War. I think that was the moment when we were all walking together and we kind of started migrating and talking to each other. Well, Susan has been a longtime peace and social activist who is currently affiliated with the Sonoma County Green Party. In fact, it was really interesting. The last election, there was her name on the ballot. I never knew anybody really, another woman whose name was on the ballot. That was really great. And she's also a member of the Police Brutality Coalition and Veterans for Peace. She's also a writer, a poet, and a photographer. And I have to say, she's an amazing writer and photographer. And she's happy to say she's a regular guest on Women's Spaces, and also was my first interview when I first did the television show on Women's Spaces. And I have to say one last thing. When we went to saw Dolores, we went and visited the Peace Wall. And it was such a, when we looked at it and we saw your name, Susan Lamont, on it, it just made our hearts sing. It was so beautiful. So congratulations on that award. Well, you know, if you have anything else to add about what you've done or anything else you'd like to share.
Oh, no, that's plenty. Let's get on to the topic.
Well, we're going to start talking. The first thing we're going to talk about is we're going to talk about what happened last week, that the United States Court of Appellate, Ninth Circuit issued an opinion on the Andy Lopez case against Eric Gelhouse, the deputy sheriff who shot and killed him on October 22nd, 2013. And for me, I was stunned when I read the opinion, and it states so many things and issues that many of us involved were talking about. about, and we're trying to bring to light. I mean, we even tried to do a PowerPoint for the Board of Supervisors, and they wouldn't even put us on our agenda, but we handled that. Anyway, Susan, let's talk about what the Ninth Circuit had to say. You know, I know this is, in my mind, it was a second appeal, but it's really not a second appeal. Why don't you explain exactly
what
it is?
Well, I'm not being a lawyer. I'm not very good at this, but essentially the county was seeking to have the case dismissed by providing Gelhaus with immunity. And there are certain conditions which apply to people in government and people in law enforcement that can give them immunity. And the initial district court found that those things didn't apply, that certain other things did, and that meant that the trial could go forward, wouldn't be dismissed. And then
the
county appealed that higher up to the Ninth District Federal Court, and they ruled 2-1 that the district court acted properly, that what they found still applied, and that the trial can go forward because a reasonable jury could decide in Andy's favor. Not that it will decide, but that it could. Whereas if there was a dismissal, they'd be saying, no, there's enough facts here to show that there's no way a reasonable jury would find in favor of Andy.
Oh, well, it looks like from reading, I mean, there are some, like you said, there are some clauses in there that you have to get more interpretation
yes.
on. But from what I'm reading and from what I'm understanding, in fact, let me read this. This is really kind of sums it up for me. This is part of, I quote from the Ninth Circuit Court's opinion. The law was clearly established at the time of the shooting. They're talking about the shooting of young Andy Lopez, that Gelhaus' conduct was unconstitutional. The panel held that ultimately Gelhaus's entitlement to qualified immunity depended on disputed facts that needed to be resolved by a jury, and the panel therefore remanded the case for trial.
Right, but as I read that, that means that it's not automatically in Andy's family's favor. It's that there are things that are questionable that a jury has to decide. So they're saying, this is, I'll read you the phrase that's repeated many times in this decision that I don't understand and need a criminal lawyer to explain to me, is that they are required in this particular situation to view the facts in the light most favorable to the plaintiff, as we must at this stage of the proceedings. I don't know what that means really, because in a court of law, in a trial, they are not required to view the facts in the light most favorable to the plaintiff. That's not the standard. So I don't know I really don't know what this means, and therefore to me it colors it to say, yes, this is a good decision, favorable, that we like it, that they found it is possible that a whole bunch of things, and they've got 14 points, I believe, that they say
right.
are in Andy's favor and definitely not in Gelhaus's favor.
Well, let me ask you a question. You know what's so interesting to me? That this statement, you know, in everything that I've been reading, and I went back and read the district attorney's report, everything that I've read, what the district attorney concluded in our county.
Say her name, Jill Ravitch.
Jill Ravitch. She said it doesn't match what she's saying.
Exactly.
And also what I found is very interesting about this report is they made such a big deal about marijuana being in this young boy's body.
Which has nothing to do with anything.
It's not even mentioned in the report.
Because it's irrelevant.
Nothing. But why did they bring, you know, my question
is, the court of public opinion that Jill Ravitch is aiming at and that the sheriff's office is aiming at, not a legal proceeding.
But if you have a court that makes this kind of decision, then you have a district attorney making an opposite decision, which is, I guess that's what they would bring to court. Is there a problem? I mean, is there some, or is it, you know, can they go back and say, well, wait a minute, this is incorrect, and maybe do things different? Maybe.
You mean, can Jill Ravitch's office do that?
Yeah.
That I have no idea.
Yeah, I'm really
It'd take a hell of a lot of political will to do that. But when I look at this, I say at least you look at all the cases in the United States just in the past few years, or since I'm reading the history of the Attica uprisings, which was in 71, the more you find there are so many ways to sidetrack a case so it doesn't go forward in the way that is beneficial to the person who has been killed or attacked. And the grand juries are one of them because they're mostly male, they're mostly conservative, they're mostly white. Same thing is district attorneys who are in, you know, literally they're in bed with sheriff's departments and sheriff's offices and police departments. They feel they have to get along. There's a lot of different ways to sidetrack this. So it's wonderful that Andy's family was able to get an attorney who could, who was willing to work with them and really, really fight this out and take it beyond the usual levels that it goes to, because the lower down you go, the more likely they are to be favorable to law enforcement.
But another thing that people need to recognize, when these cases come up, they're making way for us. They're giving us more credibility. They're giving us more legal, more justice, yeah, so to speak, yeah, and more protection, because we are protected under the law. When you read, another thing that I love about reading this whole report is how many cases they're citing and the difference. And you begin to see that this is not a small issue. This is a huge issue.
There often are. And peace and social justice activists are on the front lines of this in many, many situations, and so often we are proven right, and we are never given credit.
We just
aren't. And they hope we'll give up and go away, and luckily some of us don't, right?
Well, another thing about this case that I'd like you to respond to, that I was reading in the Press Democrat, you know, that there's a possibility that this can go to the Supreme Court. And I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute, guys, how much money is that going to cost? I mean, why can't they just let it go to trial and let's resolve the thing already?
Well, it will cost less than what's being asked.
Oh, if they go to the Supreme Court?
Yeah. If they win, yeah, it'll cost a whole lot less. But, and as I say, again, not being a expert in any in criminal law at all, I heard, and it's secondhand, that you can't go to the Supreme Court unless there's a trial to appeal. So I don't know if that's actually true. I mean, can you appeal an appeals court decision to the Supreme Court? Well, if I were thinking for myself, I'd say, yeah, you probably could, but I'm being told that that's not true.
So keep us informed.
Right.
Now, the last question I have for you on this is, what impact do you think this report right now is having on the community? And I understand, I got a phone call, very interesting, and I understand a group of people, I think, are going to the Board of Supervisors tomorrow.
Yes.
What's happening there?
Well, tomorrow, very last minute, the Board of Supervisors put on their agenda that they are going to have one of their closed session hearings, which they have to talk about and be advised about lawsuits. So this is actually going to be talked about, you know, behind in closed session tomorrow by the Board of Supervisors. They'll be hearing from, I guess, county council and maybe other attorneys about what they think about this. We are not going to be privy to that. We don't know. So people are going to say it's time to settle. It's time to stop emotionally brutalizing this family. They've already been brutalized enough. It's time to settle this case. Don't spend any more money defending people. Don't think you're going to heal. Don't hate this family so heavily and settle. Now, the settlement could be enormous.
Well, it certainly has woken up. There's a word I was listening to the NFL thing. There's a word they say in the Black Lives Matter to woke.
Yeah, you're woke.
And it sounds like we're having a woke up moment here in Sonoma County, getting this wonderful. I
hope
stunned.
So. Yeah.
Well, you know, it's come this far. It's come this far, and we've many of us have stuck to it. And I think that we're moving forward. At least there's attention being brought to
it. And I think it's important to note that in the video testimony that comes from Eric Gelhaus himself, it's very clear that he's not certain what happened. You know, a lot of people out there think he is, and they think they know that Andy threatened and Andy did this and Andy did that. But if they read this and they read about his testimony, they find out, no, he actually isn't quite so sure.
But also his partner thought that Andy was carrying the gun in the right hand, and Gelhaus thought it was the left hand.
All these conflicts,
so right there it was a thing.
Yeah.
Well, we're coming to the end of this segment. Is there any last statements or anything else that you would like our listeners to be aware of, besides inviting people to come to the Board of Supervisors on Tuesday?
Well, I just want people to actually try to read this. It's fairly long.
It's very interesting, though.
But it is, and it, as I said, it points out things that a lot of people are not aware of. You know, if you get your news from the Press Democrat, or you get it from your friend next door, this has a lot of information that people don't have.
And also, it's important to know, because when you make these opinions, like this whole thing around the marijuana, and it's not even mentioned. I mean, when they were changing the mural on the third panel, I actually had somebody who was screaming at me because I was in favor of that. And I said, well, I'm calling him a drug addict. And I thought, wait a minute.
Yeah.
You know, it shows how influential our media is.
And that's why they do it.
Do you have
that is one of the requests. You know, we can talk about this later with Iolero, but that's one of the requests that the community asked for from the Community Advisory Council, is that they say to the sheriff's office, stop issuing these prejudicial statements.
You know, when you said about the sheriff's office, I don't know why all of a sudden that whole protest flashed in my mind with the young people. I believe they were called Andy's Youth.
Yes.
And they were marching. And I'll never forget when I looked at the paper. I wasn't able to come out that day, but the next day in the paper, and I saw all these guys
with
guns.
All their guns.
Yeah,
yes.
And here's these kids, you know, these kids who just lost their friend. I mean, give me a break. Anything, we're ending this segment. Any last or final
things? No, that's it. Just keep paying attention and don't just take the word of your, as I say, your neighbor or your local newspaper.
And we will, on Women's Spaces, www.womenspaces.com, we will be posting all your links, the link to the report, all the different links that there are, and also information on how to get a hold of Susan. Well, we're going to take a musical break, and the song I'll be playing, and this is a dear friend of mine, has just said, yes, play this song. It's called The Body Electric, and I love the name of the group. Hooray for the riffraff. Sometimes I feel that way. Sometimes I feel that when you're out there protesting or standing up, people think, oh, who are you? You know, I want to put my hand on my hip and say, hey, me, who am I? I have a master's degree, and I want to just go into all these different things, but I'm silent about it. Anyway, we're going to take a musical break, and like I said, the song I'll be playing is by the Body, called The Body Electric by Hooray for the Riffraff. When we come back, I will be continuing my conversation with Susan Marmont, and we'll be talking about the Independent Office of Law Enforcement Review and Outreach, known as IOLERA. We're going to talk about its formation, whether it should continue, and also the value to our community.
Said you're going to shoot me down, put my body in the river. Shoot me down, put my body in the river while the whole world sings. Sing it like a song. The whole world sings like there's nothing going wrong. He shot her down, he put her body in the river. He covered her up, but I went to get her and I said, my girl, what happened to you now? I said, my girl, we gotta stop it somehow. Sick and sad. Tell me what's a man with a rifle in his hand gonna do for a world that's all gone mad? He's gonna shoot me down, put my body in the river, cover me up with the leaves of September like an old sad song. You heard it all before. Gone, but I'm settling the score.
Wow. Sometimes the truth really makes you nuts. That's for sure. Anyway, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And for you just joining in, I'm talking with activist and founder of the Police Brutality Coalition. And again, I want to say congratulations to Susan, who was just inducted to the Wall of Peace in Sebastopol. And Ken and I actually, on Saturday, actually saw the wall with her name on it. Just beautiful. Beautiful. We are now going to do part two of our conversation, and we're going to talk about the Independent Office of Law Enforcement Review and Outreach, known as IOLERO, the formation of it, the continuation of it, if that's important, and the value to our community. But before we start, you had an interesting thought as you were listening to this song.
Yeah, the line that was repeated many times about what's the man with the rifle in his hand going to do for the world, and then there were many things about the world. And I had a letter to the editor a couple weeks ago in the Press Democrat, and it was talking about how much violence there is in the world, and we like to concentrate, you know, ILARO was one of its jobs, you know, is talking about immigrants, and the sheriff's always got to get rid of these immigrants because they're violent. And I pointed out that most of the violence is created by citizens, and that law enforcement families, statistics differ, suffer from 2 to 4 times the violence of the average family in this country. So we're relying for the man with the rifle in his hand to solve some problems, and yet the man with the rifle in his hand is the problem.
Well, also, when you talk about the man with his rifle in his hand, you know, a lot of these people that are becoming law enforcement all are coming back from the wars, and they have PTSD, they have all kinds of issues going that are sometimes not as visible as we would like them to be, and then all of a sudden they're on the force. I mean, sometimes when I was reading the Ninth Circuit opinion, and I got to Gelhaus's section, and I got to other things, I started thinking, I wonder if he had had a PTSD attack. Like he was.
Many people have wondered. Yeah. And again, that's not mentioned either because you don't know it. And you know.
But it's just something. If we could understand that when these things happen, it's not good for the culture, it's not good for people, it's not good for our children. If we would sit down and talk about these things, find out, do a little assessment, you know, I mean, I really feel, you know, oftentimes we say, yes, Eric Gelhaus is definitely the one who did it. But there's a whole body of ideas and people and organizations and all kinds of stuff behind him supporting that action. So it's really something has to look at. And that's why I think when we start talking about the Independent Office of Law Enforcement Review and Outreach, known as ALERO, it has such an important function in the community, and I'm beginning to see that more and more. So give us a little background on how this began, how this was formed. I mean, we were there from the beginning, so kind of talk about
it. And you're going to have the link to the director's report on that.
Definitely.
And it has a pretty good history about how this all formed, so I would recommend that. But it formed because of Andy's killing and because of continued public protest about it and going to the Board of Supervisors and basically not letting them have a normal meeting until they did something. So they finally formed a task force, and then the task force came up with, I'm not even going to get into the difference between 21 and 22 recommendations, but one of the recommendations was the formation of this department.
Well, you know, it's really interesting because we had a report, and I want to mention this to the people. We had a report. It was called The Community Concerns About Law Enforcement in Sonoma County. It was issued on May 2000, and it was a report by the California Advisory Committee to the U.S. Constitution on Civil Rights. And they do several recommendations, but one of the things that I found interesting, I went back to review this because I was very involved with this. A woman by the name of Mary Moore, actually we had a conversation about this, and she's so adamant about this being important. And I went and I looked at it and I thought, well, what's so interesting, recommendation 6.1, the advisory committee believes that the cities of Rohnert Park, I found that interesting that Rohnert Park was mentioned when they just had that horrible killing of Branch Roth with the taser, you know, that Rohnert Park and
they've had a bunch of things.
Yeah, but it was and Santa Rosa.
And Sonoma County.
And the county sheriff require the immediate creation of a civilian review board. Now, is ILARO a civilian review board?
Yes, it is. And so it's very sad that this report went nowhere. It was completely ignored. Every once in a while they'd mention it and say, oh, we've made some of the changes, you know, we have 0.2% more women in our department or something. But it was ignored until Andy was killed, and then it was brought up again. A lot of the suggestions that are important are in this report. They're there. They've been there for 17 years.
Well, what's so interesting, because I remember, like it was yesterday, one of the task force members shouting at me, why do I want to live in the past?
Yeah.
And I said, well, you don't want to reinvent the wheel.
Yeah, it's here. It's here.
It's right here. So it's very, very interesting about, I just wanted to mention that, and I wanted to find out what capacity, because I'm still a little confused about ILARO.
Well, you know, ILARO does certain things which are positive, but the big question has to be, what is law enforcement all about? What do we really want it to be? Do we really want it as it exists now? Those really big questions aren't being discussed in ILARO. As a matter of fact, part of their mission is, you know, it's supposed to be a two-way street, back and forth. What does the community want? What does law enforcement say? But one of the pieces, if you read it, is to take what the sheriff's office does and explain it to the public. And the implication to me of that is, if the public understands what the sheriff's office does, they'll go, oh, okay, now I get it. That makes sense to me. That's okay. Which some of us look at that and say, no. So when, for instance, Issa Roth was tasered 21 times, something like that, in 27 minutes, that's county policy. You can do that in Sonoma County. They don't have any limit on how much you can tase a person. Whereas, say, San Francisco, 3, that's it. And you can question whether 3 should be allowed. But the difference is stunning between 3 and unlimited. And so it's not a case of just, here's the policy, it's okay, they followed the policy, 21 times he was tasered. It's, whoa, this is absurd. We need to do something about this. It's well,
That's what a review committee would do, right?
Well, one of the things that I don't think is being done quite properly is that public input into policy, and that's what Shirley Zane and David Rabbit, the two supervisors, they don't want that to be a focus. They want to review investigations, find did they follow policy, did they not. That only goes so far, because if the policy's bad, you have to be able to talk about the policy. Now, it exists that the director can look at the policy and make policy recommendations. The Community Advisory Council can do the same thing, but I think it's lost its way to a certain degree, and that was really reflected in what happened
with Alicia Ramon.
Yeah, with Alicia Ramon, because it's very clear that initially, as created, they were to take the lead. The community advisory was to take the lead from input from the community, and what that was turning out to be inconvenient.
Well, of course.
Well, I mean, just as a practical matter, when you only meet for 2 hours a month, how much time can you devote to taking input from the community? So they looked at Alicia. She was giving us more time to speak. The sheriff's office was saying, we don't want to hear from them. We're not even going to answer their questions. And so they sort of made themselves the community instead of being the conduit from the community to the sheriff's office.
Well, do you think that this was a lesson learned for them?
I don't know. I mean, there are individual community advisory council members who will reach out to people in the public and say, you know, can you give us some input? But I don't think they've solved the problem. Is how are this is going to take more time. Do those council members have the time to listen? So now this has to be looked at again, because it's not working as a way for the community to give input and for that council to listen.
Well, the thing that I think is the most important thing about this IOLERO is the fact that it exists. And you can always improve on something that exists, but
yes,
you can't improve on something that goes away.
No, absolutely.
So that was where I got a little confused, because I got involved with the Alicia Ramon issue, and then all of a sudden I thought, this is not working. And then
right,
all of a sudden when they went to the review and there was some fear of losing it, all of a sudden you began to see the value of it, and you had to say, okay, this is an issue, but it doesn't mean it has to go away.
Right.
Is that was the
kind of conclusion? Yeah, we need to keep essentially demanding that it be more than it is, and if that requires more people, more funds, you know, in the end it's going to cost less if we improve the behavior of the sheriff's office than the cost of this. Now, as I said, there are other things that aren't ever going to be talked about here, and those conversations about law enforcement generally have to continue outside of government.
Well, you know, I was really impressed. You know, I interviewed, they have a outreach person of the Sheriff Department by the name of Mitzi Harris, and right. I interviewed her. I was so impressed by her. I have to say that. I mean, she's a gentle person. She really understands. You get an understanding. She understands people. She understands how to talk. And I was thinking how great. They do the PR. She takes care of the public, gives tours, goes and talks about the sheriff. Mm-hmm. And then you have IOLERA, which is kind of the watchdog, which is watching over to make sure they're implementing the proper things. Or like you said, is 26 tasers a reasonable or unreasonable? And even though they don't have the jurisdiction in Rohnert Park, it doesn't matter. It's Sonoma County. Isn't this a Sonoma County task force?
It's a Sonoma County task force, but it does not apply to the towns themselves, the cities.
It doesn't?
No.
Well, maybe that's another thing they need to look at. I mean, there's all these police departments.
We've gone and we've talked to Rohnert Park, and they refuse to consider it. They have refused for 17 years to give it any consideration.
And here they are in this report. It's just amazing.
Yeah.
Well, Susan, we're coming to the, you know, it goes by so quickly.
There's too much to talk about.
There's too much to talk about. But the most important thing is at least people get a little bit of a thumbprint, at least an idea of what's going on. And I really want to commend you for all the work on the Police Brutality Coalition. It's something that you started. It was an offshoot from the Andy Lopez coalition that we all belonged to when all this was happening.
Came after the jail beatings that there are videos of, which the sheriff denied ever happened.
I mean, it's just, you know, and that's why you need an oversight committee. That's why you need these things.
It's actually why you need lawyers willing to sue. That's what you need.
It's just amazing. Anyway, we're at the end of the segment. Is there any final words? Anything you'd like to share? Give your website.
Okay, we actually don't have a website. We have a Facebook page. It is PBC Sonoma County. Not allowed to use the word police in a Facebook page unless you are actually police. So it's PBC Sonoma County, all one word. And you can reach me at slamont@sonic.net. And we are having a meeting here at KBBF tonight. It's always the fourth Monday at 6 o'clock.
And is the public invited?
Yes.
I mean,
people
want to be concerned.
Yeah.
You know, it's really important. These things are important because you find out some truth. You know, I notice some of the threads, some of the way people react. They react out of ignorance. And you need to get informed. Well, Susan Lamont, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for once again coming on Women's Spaces and for giving us such a great overview. And I know we could just go on
and on for hours
on this. Well, that's it for our show, folks. A special thank you to Susan Lamont, local activist and one of the founders of the Police Brutality Coalition. Reminder about the forum happening. Wow, five candidates we're going to meet for sheriff. Happening at the Veterans Hall in Santa Rosa this Thursday, September 28th from 6 to 8. Very important that we all show up. This is Elaine B. Holt, and you've been listening to Women's Spaces. And I want to remind you, the children are our future, and we must never lose sight of that. Thank you for listening, and I look forward to being with you the next time.
The woman in your life needs